I opened my mouth to speak, but closed it again. As long as an officer is heaping praise on you, it's best to stay quiet. She turned to Adjunct Leeson. Is the inspector able to join us yet? Leeson checked his tapper. He's coming down the hall now. The door chimed again, and everyone stiffened. Even the Primus looked nervous. They opened the door, and a now familiar alien stepped into the room. It was none other than the six-handed creature I'd had run-ins with on two occasions.
James McGill, the Primus said, let me introduce you to Inspector Zlor. He honors all of us with his presence.
I looked from one of them to the next. I didn't really understand what was going on.
An honor to meet you, Inspector, I said.
The alien didn't look at me. It looked instead at the Primus. A click sounded, and the translator scratched out words.
It still lives. Why has this matter not been attended to?
We thought you might wish to witness the event, so that there could be no doubt.
Get on with it, then.
Primus Turov turned to me and straightened her body.
Recruit James McGill of Legion Varus, I hereby sentence you to permadeath. The sentence is to be carried out immediately.
Turov then took a step backwards and nodded to Leeson, who lifted his weapon. I was in shock. I'd been surprised by the alien, but I had no idea I was going to be executed. Reflexively, I reached for my sidearm, but of course it wasn't there. I'd been ordered to leave it behind when I came to this briefing.
I don't understand, I said loudly. Who is this alien? How can I be executed for a crime I don't even comprehend?
James, said the Primus, staring at me. Inspector Zlor is a galactic, one of the many species from the core of the galaxy. He is here to observe, and you should recognize him. You killed him twice within the span of a few days.
I opened my mouth, but no sound came out. I was stunned. We'd never seen the Galactics on Earth. Naturally, there were plenty of vids of their ships. They had a vast armada that had once visited our backwater world and threatened to blow it up. But they never socialized with us directly. Like most Earthers, I'd always thought the Galactics looked like the mollusk race that had come to negotiate with us. But now I realized that species was just another member of the Empire. Perhaps they traded services, such as their diplomatic expertise. So here, standing before me on its six hands, was a true galactic. A spider-like creature with warm, dark blood. At least I knew they could bleed like we could. Leeson worked his weapon, ratcheting the muzzle. It wouldn't do if the hull was pierced by a stray bullet. I watched him, watched his hands moving as if in a dream. I was trying to think of a way out of this, but I didn't see one. I thought about physically attacking them. That was my first instinct, I admit. I didn't feel guilty. I felt angry. What I did next came as a surprise to everyone, including me. I stepped toward Inspector Zlor, baring my teeth like an animal. I wanted to dig my thumbs into those soft sensory organs of his. If their skulls were as thin as I suspected they were, maybe I could kill him a third time with my bare hands. A gun muzzle touched my chest. I heard the chamber rattle. Six times, or maybe it was seven. It's hard to count bullets as they're slamming into your body. I fell to my knees and looked up. Veteran Harris looked back. It was his gun that had unloaded into my chest. I didn't feel pain, not exactly. It was more like being dizzy, sick, and weak. I fell forward onto my face, and I had time to roll onto my back.
Vicious creatures, the inspector said. They should put you all down.
Harris looked at me, and I stared back. My eyes slowly dimmed. The veteran bent down, putting his hands on his knees.
And now, kid, he said, you and I are even.
Chapter 16.
The first thought that impinged on my brain as I awakened an unknowable time later was that I shouldn't be awakening at all. That was the entire point of permadeath. He didn't come back. But I was alive, barely. I was naked, cold, and coughing. I gasped and coughed up thick liquids, choking. I rolled away from the attendants who pushed me back down. I flopped onto an unforgiving slab and struggled weakly. "He's fibrillating. Defib. Defib, damn it!" The bios grabbed me and held me down. At the last instant, they all pulled their hands away and they shocked me. A wrenching pain bit my chest, my face, every inch of my skin. "Again!" Another ice-cold touch was followed by a sharp jolt. I squirmed weakly, no longer able to cough. My mouth opened, but no breath was drawn. "He's going. We're going to have to re-roll." "Don't do it. We're not allowed." "He's a bad grow." "I don't give a shit. Hit him again." They zapped me a third time. Fortunately, I lost consciousness. When I came back to the world of pain and bright lights, which was how I now thought of my universe, I did so with trepidation. I took each breath cautiously, experimentally. No one grabbed me or shocked me this time around. I opened my eyes and stared. There was a brilliant glare, but nothing else. Was I still dead? Slowly, I became more aware. I was on a slab of cold metal. There was no sheet over me, nothing. The room was cold, and I shivered in random twitches. I heard footsteps. "You made it. Congratulations." I forced my head to roll toward the voice. It was female and stern, but not without a hint of kindness. I stared at her without recognition for a few seconds. Then it came to me. "I know you," I croaked. "Speech?" she asked, tapping her arm. "A good sign. This might not have been a total waste of time. The pool was 50-50, betting you'd come out brain dead."
"You're from Cancri 9,
I said hazily.
"You are running the revival unit at the base."
I remembered her now, in a flood. She was Anne Grant, the woman who'd been killed after sending me out on point, the woman who'd done my first revival. It all seemed so clear, but the current situation was fuzzy. In fact, the moment of my first rebirth now seemed clearer to me than what I'd been doing more recently in the mines. It was strange how memories worked after they rebuilt a person. They didn't come back with quite the same priority structure in the brain. It was very much like waking up and being uncertain if one was dreaming or fully awake. "Yes," biospecialist Grant said, her voice softening.
"I know you, McGill."
She put a hand on my wrist, took my pulse, then leaned over me and checked my eyes, spreading them open and looking into them. She had a light on her forehead, one that made me wince with the bright, probing glare it shot into my pupils.
"I was on Cancri 9, and I ran the unit non-stop. Did you die down there?"
"Yeah. Just once. The second time was aboard this ship."
She withdrew her hands and worked on her tapper.
"As soon as you can stand, you're good to go."
I couldn't stop staring at Grant. She still had her short, dark hair and narrow, careworn eyes. But her face was pretty. I remembered that part. I almost asked her to turn around, but stopped myself in time. I was a little out of it. Specialist Grant turned away and made as if to leave. I reached out to her and caught the hem of her lab coat with rubbery fingers.
"Explain a few things to me," I croaked. "Please, Anne."
The bio turned back. She frowned, looking troubled.
"I really shouldn't," she said quietly.
"Just tell me if I'm going to be normal. I heard you guys saying it went wrong."
"You'll be fine, I think. You're recovering."
"What could go bad? What should I look for?"
"Toxemia, necrolysis. There are a few other side effects."
I shook my head.
"What went wrong?"
Nothing, really. Nothing unexpected, anyway. Sometimes when we revive someone with poor quality base materials, it doesn't go right and we have to redo it. In your case, that wasn't possible.